Now listen very carefully. This is so important to me. Predestination, I don't care what anyone says, search your Bible, is never used in reference to anyone who is unsaved. Never. It's not in there. Not only that, God has never predestined someone, you're going to be lost, you're going to be saved.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. We're delighted you've joined us for Pastor Bill's series in the New Testament Epistle of Romans. Today's message is entitled, Five Words. Now, Pastor.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning as we continue our study in Romans. We're in Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible. Begins with no condemnation, ends with no separation, and in between, there's nothing but constant victory. Amen. I'm so thankful for the Word of God, the divine truth of God. This morning, as we're looking at our text, we're going to look at five words, just five words, and let me read to you these great verses before us. We're going to be in chapter 8, verse 28, where Paul writes to us, and he says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." It's very important this morning. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen? Open your hearts to God's divine truth. Remember that beginning in Romans chapter 6, all the way through this great chapter, chapter 8 that we're in right now, all the way down to verse 39, is a great doctrine of sanctification, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. This morning, we're going to look at five huge words. And those words I just read to you, foreknew, predestined, called, justified, glorified. Those are incredible words you should underline. You should go home and do a study. They should be embedded in your heart forever and ever and ever, for they are given to give the Christian a tremendous assurance of his or her salvation. Amen? Wonderful words. Now, this morning, you know, these five words, many people, scholars, you know, and people in commentaries, which is great, they call these five words, if you will, the five links in a chain concerning, again, the assurance and the believer's security or the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. The problem with the five words is that they have caused much division in the body of Christ throughout all the ages. And what we want to do is understand what these words mean. They're to give us assurance. They're not to terrify us, if you understand. You know, and it's terrible that the body of Christ is divided. I don't mind if a person doesn't say, for example, if you don't believe in the rapture of the church, for example, the catch-awaying of the church before the great tribulation period. Well, you know, just because that you don't believe that, that doesn't mean I don't like you. It means I'll never want to see you again. No. No, that doesn't mean that. We don't want to be divided. You know, we can disagree agreeably. But just because that we do disagree doctrinally doesn't mean that we have to be divided. Amen? I mean, if a person believes they're going to go through the great tribulation period and suffer all that, well, hey, more power to you. I just happen to know that it's not going to happen. You know, we may be gone tonight. I don't know. Or maybe before I finish preaching. But these words have divided the church throughout the ages, and we don't want that to happen to us. We want to be, first of all, we want to be very good Bereans or very good students of God's word. Because when we get to verse 28, and we're all guilty of this, we start treating verse 28 as almost a separate doctrine. We isolate it from the verse 27, which is before it, and the verses that follow it, which should never be done. So we want to make sure that we don't do that this morning and let this verse stand alone. That's why I've included it in our text. This morning, I want to talk to you about those five words beginning in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to what? His purpose, His plan, His divine plan for our life. Here's what's important about this verse. You see the word and? That's a very important word. We read it so easily, but that conjunction there, and, what does it do? It tells us that this verse, verse 28, is linked with what all has gone before. Actually, it goes all the way back to verse 1 of chapter 8, where it talks about these present sufferings that we're enduring, that we go through as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at here, we don't want to isolate this verse. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is mentioned more in chapter 8, 21 times, I believe, or 20, than any other chapter in the book of Romans. So remember, this carries right on through from verse 27 and so forth, verse 26, where the Holy Spirit helps us with our infirmities. The Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And now, beginning in verse 28, the great doctrine of sanctification, it continues. It doesn't stop in verse 27. It is now continuing. And it's done so by the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. That's why that word and is so important, meaning that it's the Holy Spirit of God who is directing us in the plan of God for our lives. Amen. That's so vital. And the second word here is even just as important, where it says, we know. That word means we know with absolute certainty. Because God, in His divine knowledge, has given that to us right here. He cannot lie. We know what the world doesn't know. I wish they did know, but they don't know. We know truly with all of our hearts that all things truly do work together for good. Amen. To those that love God and called according to His purpose. The Bible doesn't teach us that all things are good, okay? And the things that happen to us are not good. He says, I'm going to work it out in your life. God says, I'm going to cause it to work out in your life. I'm for you, God says. Amen? You know, and it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody in the world. It's just for those who love God. It's for those who are called according to His purpose. Now, you know, God doesn't plan all the problems in our life. Did you know that? He doesn't have to. We are always causing problems, right? All right. Now, you remember what Joseph's brothers, remember there in the Old Testament, his brothers, what did they do? They dug a pit, threw Joseph into it, and then when the Ishmaelites came along, they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. They, in turn, took him to Egypt and sold him into Potiphar's house. But at the end of the book of Genesis, after all the things that go on in the life of Joseph, the hardship, prisons, and all the thing, you know what he said in Genesis 50, verse 20? He says, he talks to his brothers, and he says, listen, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. You see, God changed it. Yeah, you did. I know what you did. And he says, God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is in this day to save many people alive. Listen, what Joseph's wicked brothers did not only saved their lives, but it also saved the life of Jacob, Joseph's father. And from there came the nation of Israel. Amen. Now, with all that being said, I don't understand how God makes all things work together for good in my life. And I just know that I believe it. God hasn't called me again. He hasn't called me to reconcile it. He just said, believe my word, Bill. And I know this. The Bible is so clear that goodness and mercy follow me, follow you, all the days of your life. Amen? That's all we really need to know. You know, R.A. Torrey said this about Romans 8:28. He said, this is a soft pillow for a tired heart. And that is a very good word. Now, we come to five words. Some of these words, you know, I've been a Christian now, I think, close to 40 years. I can't remember any longer. I'd have to add it up. Becky would know, but I can't remember everything. You understand? But you know, some of these words, as I was growing up, tormented me. They almost disabled my faith. These words are vital this morning that you grasp and understand them. Again, they are compared to the five links in the chain, okay? And verse 29 through 30, what's going to happen is we're going to travel to eternity past, and we're going to go all the way to eternity future. We're going to go before time, and we're going to end up after there is no more time. Is that okay? That's where we're going. I believe with all of my heart, or I would never tell you. I believe this teaches, as we go through these five words, huge words, these five links in God's chain, if you will, I believe, number one, they are unbreakable. Number two, and they can never, ever be altered. Now, I'll show you what I mean when we get to the end. Look at verse 29. Here they come. For takes us back to the purpose of God in verse 28, okay, his plan for our life. For whom he, meaning God, foreknew, he also predestined or marked out beforehand, okay? It says to be conformed to the image of his son, that's sanctification, and that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There's that first word that can cause a lot of trouble. The first word is foreknew. In the Greek, it's progenosko. Pro means before, genosko in the Greek means to know. So in other words, it means literally, to foreknew means God knows beforehand. Is that okay? I mean, that's not hard, is it? I mean, God knows everything, amen? For example, I knew this morning, I knew ahead of time, I foreknew that today was daylight saving time. I knew that. The only problem is I didn't create it in eternity. Had I done so, I would have never let it go through time. Do you understand? Do you like daylight saving times? I don't like it. Mentally, it messes me up. It takes me about 6 months to all of a sudden, now I click in, and then it's time, you know, before we know it, to go back again. Never mind. You're not with me. Your mind's on the TCU game. I'm sorry if you're from Baylor. And I pray for you. God comfort your heart. Yeah. Sorry. Now, here's the thing. God, his foreknowledge, or he foreknew. Listen, God knows everything that will happen before it happens. See, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He knows everything. He is God Almighty, the creator of everything. Amen? Nothing slips by him. Before God created man or the universe or the angels, God knew every event that would ever occur in all of heaven, in all of earth. He knows every thought, word, deed, and action of every human being before it ever happened. Man, listen, God knows everything. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 4, it says, talking about God, he says, oh, listen, there's not a word on my tongue, oh God. Behold, you already know it. You know it together. He knows where you're going for lunch. He knows who's going to win the cowboy game. Do you understand? He knows everything. He knows the songs we're going to sing next week if we're still here. Nothing escapes him. The day of your birth, nobody's birth, no person that was ever born on this planet escaped his attention. You remember whenever God was speaking unto Jeremiah the prophet all the way back in the Old Testament, when God called him, God spoke to him in Jeremiah 1:5, and he said unto him, he says, listen, before, that means that foreknowledge or foreknew, before I formed you, Jeremiah, in the womb. He says, I knew you. He says, before you were born, I sanctified you, or literally set you apart. He says, I ordained you, or literally appointed you to be a prophet for the nations. Listen, that was before it ever happened. God knows everything, everything about everyone. See, Jeremiah, he wasn't a mistake. You're not a mistake. God knows you now, knew you before in eternity. He loved you then. He cared for you then, even though you didn't know that. And not only that, he chose you then. Oh, listen, God knows everything, foreseeable and unforeseeable. Nothing escapes his attention. It says in Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And here it comes, which God prepared when? Before time, that we should walk in them. Now, let's look at this second word. So are you in agreement now that God knows everything about everything? Okay, so whom he foreknew, he did something else. Look at this word now. He also marked out. He also determined beforehand. God also predestined that individual. Now listen carefully. Boy, this is a text that you want to remain. Don't lift it up and do something else with it. You know, the word predestined is the most, one, to me, one of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture, and yet, even though it's found in only a few places in the New Testament, there are those, I say this tenderly, there are those that have made the word predestined one of the most ugly words in our vocabulary. Boy, and that hurts me, because when I was growing up in Christ as a young person, that word, the people that I knew at that time, it nearly destroyed my walk because I just never could wrap my mind around what they were trying to tell me. You see, there are some that teach that predestination means this, that God, before there was anything, God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, you follow me? Nothing else, just them, in eternity. He has always been, like I said, Alpha the Omega, beginning and ending. That God before time chose, because he foreknew, he chose those some to be saved, and then he chose others to go to hell. You know, I said, whoa, really? I mean, I'll never forget the first time somebody told me that. I said, what? Where do you get that in the Bible? In other words, before the person was ever born, God ordained their future. God ordained and determined their eternal destiny, because no man, no woman ever born has free will or has any choice. And God did so not on the basis of their future behavior, which had not done anything good or bad yet because they were still in eternity. Are you following me? But God determined that by his own sovereign will, meaning because he wanted to. He can do anything that he wants to do, and of course God can do anything that he wants to do. Now listen, I'm going to ask you a question. You really need to understand this morning. Does the word predestined, and does God mean that that word means, again, to mark out beforehand, before the person is born, does that mean that that person God has predestined can never, ever be saved? Not only that, it means that God, not that can they only be saved, it means they can never repent if they want to. They teach what's called a limited free will, which means the only free will a lost person has that's been determined to go to hell, predetermined to go to hell. The only thing they can really say in their limited free will is to reject Christ. I'm going, where in the Bible do they get this information? And listen, does it mean that? Can you imagine being born? God, okay, I know you're coming into this life. Here you go. And there's no way you're going to be saved because I don't want you to be saved. I predetermined that. You're predestined never. You're going to go to eternal hell. And you never had a chance to repent. You can't repent. And you're guilty, but you never had a chance to get it cleaned up. Does that make sense? Are you all with me? Oh, do you like that doctrine? Oh, listen. No. Listen, it's also, let's do it the other way. And how about us? We're born again. Now, is that self-imposed Christianity? We didn't have a choice. In other words, we just said, we're just a bunch of robots where God says, you know, this is what you're going to be doing. The loved one, let me tell you something. If that is the case, did you know that Isaiah, if we have no free will, if we do not have choice, that means Isaiah 1:18, when God says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, you know the rest of it. Well, there's no reason to reason together because I don't have a choice. Are you following me? It means that when in Proverbs 6:16 and following, when God says, these are the things that God hates, yea, and seven is an abomination unto me, and he lists them all, and he says, you know, it means that I don't have a choice. God, you hate those things, and I'm doing those things, and there's no way out of those things because you predestined me to do those things. Are you still here? And I'm going, oh, Lord. Loved one, listen to me. Jesus Christ came to set us free. Amen. He came to set us free. It's not for God so predestined the world. It's God so loved the world. That's the whole thing. And I look at that and I say, oh God, how can this be? It says there, look at it again. He predestined, he marked out, he determined beforehand. And here's the key to this verse. Let's don't lift it out and put it in some other doctrine. Let's read it for what it's worth. He predestined beforehand what? God predestined you. The word predestined means to arrive at a certain destination. He predestined you to what? To hell? Or is the word hell there? Okay. What did he predestine you for? Oh, you're a great class. You got it. You got the star. Kevin's buying everybody lunch. Yes. Listen. Yeah. Oh, man, that's it. Listen very carefully. It's talking about being predestined to that certain destination, which is what? Sanctification. I'm being conformed into the very likeness of my Lord. Why? I'm born again. The Spirit of God lives in me. Amen? Now, listen, this verse is so important. Let me read something. The matter to be considered when the word is used is not who are the objects of the predestination or his predestination. We're not talking about that here. What we're talking about is what are they predestined to? Well, we already found the answer. It's to be conformed to the image of God. Now listen, the image of our Lord. Now listen very carefully. This is so important to me. Is that predestination, search your Bible, predestination, I don't care what anyone says, search your Bible, is never used in reference to anyone who is unsaved. Never. It's not in there. Not only that, God has never predestined someone, you're going to be lost, you're going to be saved. It doesn't work that way. And I'll prove that in just a moment. Not only that, predestination applies only to a person who is saved, not to a person who is not saved. Not only that, nowhere in Scripture do you find that God has predestined or predestines people to be eternally condemned. Nowhere. Nowhere. If you're eternally condemned, it's because you don't want Jesus Christ to be your Lord. He loves you. He died for you. He paid for your sins. Amen? That's right. Now listen, Adam, they say, well, man doesn't have free will. Did Adam have free will? Yes. There was only one law in the garden. Don't eat of that one tree. You can have everything else you want, Adam, you know, but you can't eat of that tree. The day that you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Well, you know, Adam had a choice. Now, if Adam was predestined to do that, that means he didn't have a choice. God knew he was going to do it. Of course, God knows. Why? I don't know. I don't know all the mysteries of eternity, and neither does anyone else, and neither does a theologian, nor any denomination. Do you understand? We have no clue. We're finite. He's infinite. Is that correct, or did I get it? That's right. I mean, if it's not on my handout here that I don't know if it's holy or not. You see? As long as I stick to my notes, I know I'm safe, right? Listen, Adam had a choice. Of his own volition, he willingly sinned. He knew the difference. Now listen, when I hear that say, okay, God predestined these people to da 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 da. In other words, God planned all these murders and all these rapes, and I'm going, where do you get this stuff? I mean, listen, Jesus didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? No, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We know who's the cause of the murders. He was a murderer from the beginning, the Bible says. He is the father of all lies. He's the deceiver, the tempter. He's the wicked one. We know where he's going to end up. Amen? And not only that, when we think about the Bible, we think about what Jesus said about hell. Yes, he talked about hell more than anybody else in the Word of God. But Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, he said, hell was made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for me. I don't want to be there. I want to be where the Lord is. Now, with all that being said, it is so important. The words, the scriptures I'm about to give you, just listen to me, this lengthy reading of scriptures, because I know and I believe with all of my heart that the Bible teaches that God desires all people to be saved. He loves everyone. For God so... Yeah, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Now, we already know that the object of his love, God so loved the world, not the trees and the rivers, we know that, we've talked about that. It's talking about the people. What activates John 3:16 is, whosoever believeth, you'll not perish. Whosoever believes in his heart, Jesus be the Lord of my life. Now, listen, there are those that teach, along with this predestination thing, that there's what's called a limited atonement, meaning that Jesus just died for the elect are the few, the one he predestined to be saved, but those that he did not die for. That's not Bible.
Now, we hate to interrupt the study, but we're out of time. But Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today. Enjoy the rest of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.